Okay, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for all that you have done to make it possible. Thank you that we have the things that really matter in life. There's a lot of things we don't have, a lot of things we wish we had. But we have you. And we live in a place where we're full of the blessings that you have rained down upon us that have been prepared beforehand by those who have gone before us. And with your grace, Lord, we just thank you. And I just pray that you open up our hearts today to hear wisdom from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We value knowledge. We send our children to school to make sure that they have the basics, because you need knowledge. You want to be, in order to have any kind of success, there's a certain amount of things that everybody needs to know. And so we do the best we can to educate our children, and we're very unhappy when what we see happening doesn't meet that standard that we have. I've been to a whole lot of school board meetings in my life, but I understand they can be pretty lively. Somebody with a lot of knowledge is generally respected. They have a potential to make more money. They have a tendency to get more respected. So we want to have knowledge, and there is so much to know in this world now. There's a term out there called information explosion, and it refers to the amount of things, the amount of information that is available in the world to be known. I found some statistics that are kind of old, but even in the time period that they covered, were kind of interesting. In 1986, the amount of information in the world could be broken down, could be squished onto one CD-ROM. And, you know, that's compressed, that's text, that's still an awful lot of information, but just one per person. By 2007, that number had gone up to 61. And there's no telling how high it is now. And so we have something that we call information overload. There's so much to be processed that it's too much. We're not able to take it all in. In fact, some studies suggest that we actually make poor decisions because we have so much information we don't know how to sort through it. There's more in the world than we could ever possibly know. That's always been true, but it's more evidently true now. And it's often very difficult to verify what we think we know or what we're being told. You know, that the term fake news that gets thrown around now between both sides. Where does that accusation come from? It's because it's hard to know. You look at something, it seems reasonable, so you believe it. And your phone, you pull it out, it'll tell you just about anything you could ever possibly want to know. And just about even people that don't have much of anything else now have a smartphone. They can go on the internet and find out anything they want to know. But it can't tell you whether what you're finding out is the truth.
Right.
You need something more than just the knowledge. You know, these machines are great. They're fancy. It's like having a book that has anything in it that you ever want to know. But the book can't think.
No.
And the machine can't think either. If you doubt that, just ask Siri or Google Assistant or Alexa, whatever your favorite is, anything more difficult than the weather or where the nearest restaurant is, and see what kind of answers you get. They're not really very smart, because all they can really do is follow a set of extremely complex instructions that have been put in on the back end to try to figure out what you said and what you might want to know based on what you said. And having information is not sufficient. And we all know how many intelligent fools there are running around the world. I think most of them went to college.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, what many of them are learning from those intelligent fools is that, well, there's no God at all. They fulfill the scripture where Paul says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of incorruptible God for the image and the form of corruptible man. And it goes on there. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Now, in that time, idolatry was more common than it is now in a form that you would recognize from the scripture. You know, somebody puts a statue up there and you actually worship that thing. Uh-huh. Or an animal or some different thing like that. Well, now, we don't so much do that, at least not in Western culture. Now, we have replaced those statues with man himself, and we've come to a place of what we call humanism, where it's all about us. We are the pinnacle of creation. Well, we are the pinnacle of creation, but there is a creator. And if you don't acknowledge the creator, nothing else makes any sense. Or we worship nature, which can't do anything without a God who created it. But wisdom, true wisdom, is the cure for all that ails us. Because God is the source of wisdom. And the Proverbs, which is what I want to talk to you very briefly about today, the Proverbs are God's answer to the fool. His instruction to those who are naive or ignorant. And his words for the wise to hear and understand. I love the Proverbs. I used to, and it's common practice among many people, I used to do this. I used to read one every day because you got 31 of them. That means you can read one a day for every day of the month. But they are just chock full of things that you recognize as being the truth if you live long enough. You just... Oh, yeah. It's just the light comes on when you read it. Yeah, I've seen that happen.
Right.
Most of the book was written by Solomon. And as we know, there's been no wiser king except Jesus himself. The Bible tells us that. But he had that wisdom because you might remember the story. God appears to him in a dream after he becomes king and basically says, what do you want? I'll give you anything you want.
Wow.
Solomon showed that he at least had a little bit of wisdom already because he understood there's nothing else that I can ask for, that I need more than wisdom because I've got a kingdom now to run and I'm just a kid. I don't know how to do that. So he said, he asked the Lord for wisdom, and God said, because you didn't ask for any of that other stuff, any of that selfish stuff you could have asked for, you could have asked for your enemies to be defeated, you could have asked for great wealth, but you asked for the most important thing, and because you asked for that, I'm going to give you everything else that you didn't ask for. Solomon also wrote Psalm 72, Psalm 127, Song of Solomon, of course, and the book of Ecclesiastes. 1 Kings 4:32 tells us that he spoke 3,000 Proverbs. We've got about 513 of them in the book of Proverbs. Some of them actually weren't written by Solomon. There are a few that were written by other authors, either that he recognized himself as being wise and had them copied down. But we don't know why it is or how it is that they made it in there. But it's all attributed to Solomon, except where it specifically says otherwise. There at the end, you've got some that say that they're written by somebody else or came from somebody else. But the word proverb, as we use it, is the definition, if you Google it, will say a short, pithy saying in general use, stating a general truth or piece of advice. But the word that's translated from Hebrew is to be like. And if you look at the Proverbs, of course, you'll see, particularly when you get to chapter 10, you'll see how it does that over and over again. It'll contrast and compare one thing against another. And of course, many of the Proverbs that we have today that you might hear people say actually came out of the book of Proverbs, and people don't realize it. And I hope over time, as we get to study this here and there, that we'll see those. The first 9 chapters are more narrative, as Solomon speaks on various subjects. Then, you know, he goes into the ones that we're more familiar with, that the 10 through 29, where he has those couplets we just talked about. But he spends a lot of time talking about wisdom, and he shows how wisdom came from and was created by God, was with God from the beginning. I love chapter 8 as it describes the attributes of wisdom and how important it is. And you can see God all through that. And of course, I was informed, I was telling the story about how Linda kept after me to go ahead and try the Facebook Live thing with the video, because I thought it wouldn't work. And so I finally did it, and I was telling the people at the Pray Richardson prayer group that I go to on Saturday morning about that Linda taught me into going ahead and trying it. And they said, well, you know, wisdom is described as female, right?
Amen. I believe it.
But there are some translation difficulties. In fact, when we read here in a few minutes the introduction to Proverbs, you're going to see that, because I made another mistake. I forgot to tell Linda that I wanted a different version. So I've got one version in my notes, and there's one other version on the screen.
Okay.
And so when we get to that, Rachel, you'll have to watch the verse numbers probably to keep up. But it actually helps illustrate the point of how difficult the Proverbs can be, perhaps more than any other part of the Bible, because there's so much of the culture in it, and being able to understand what is meant by what is being said. And there's been some disagreement, obviously, between translators as to what actually is being said. And the words come out sometimes in Proverbs different than anywhere else where you might find minor differences. But what you will find is that the main thought still comes through. And because Proverbs often repeats the same thing in different ways, you will find the truth that's being expressed in one place or the other. We absolutely have to believe and trust that God's Word has come down to us as God's Word. And these translation difficulties that trip us up don't need to trip us up. Know that the truth is there.
Amen.
And it does come out. But it's for this wisdom that I hope over the course of time we'll keep returning to, because it's such a practical application for our lives. Another conversation Linda and I were having this week was, I guess she heard some research study or something that was done recently asking people, what do you want? And that was what they wanted. They wanted, show me how this actually applies to me. Well, Proverbs is a great book for showing you how this applies. So over time, not every Sunday, I've got something entirely different planned for next Sunday. Not every Sunday, in fact, I don't imagine as long as y'all let me stay here, I don't imagine I'll ever get to the end of it. But every once in a while, we'll come back to Proverbs and pick up a little bit more and talk about it, because it's just so full of wisdom and things that will help us along our way. So let's let the word speak for itself. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. And you'll see, whatever version you have in your Bible, you'll see how that there's differences even in the first introduction and how it gets worded. I'm going to read out of the Lexham English Bible, which I use a lot of times when I'm looking at the Old Testament, simply because I feel like I like the way that it faithfully treats God's name. And I know I've said that every time. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand sayings of understanding, to gain insightful instruction, righteousness and justice and equity, to give shrewdness to the simple, knowledge and purpose to the young. May the wise hear and increase learning, and the one who has understanding gain direction. To understand the proverb and an expression, words of wisdom and their riddles. Fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Wisdom and instruction fools despise. In those seven verses, he basically outlines what this is all going to be about. And he says it is to know wisdom and instruction. Or another way of putting that, or to discern the sayings of understanding. So right away you start taking this apart. Okay, why are there so many differences? So the first word I looked at was to know. What is the implication here? I mean, it's a pretty simple word. We think we know what it means. Well, if you've got a King James Bible and you look at the back book of Matthew, it means something a little different in that old English that we don't normally talk about in church. So it's reasonable to look and see, okay, what was the underlying word here? And I think that what he's saying here is that if you study the Proverbs, you will come to recognize wisdom when you find it. Amen. And you will be able to discern true wisdom from falsehood. And what is wisdom? Certainly Solomon, we've already discussed how it is that he would know what he's talking about. He has shown how wisdom comes from God from the beginning. In chapter 8, it says the Lord, and wisdom is personified in that chapter as if it were personality speaking. It says, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. That's 8:22. So it's given by God to Solomon. And it's available to us. This is what I want you to get. It's available to us just for the asking. I ask, I'll tell you, every day just about, I ask the Lord for wisdom.
Amen.
And James says that if we ask, he gives it liberally without reproach. Because, you know, I am very conscious of the fact that I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have what it takes. I need God to guide me in every area of my life. Because there may be a lot of knowledge that I have. I know a lot of things, but that doesn't mean I know how to apply them in any given situation.
Right.
That doesn't mean that I can see what the Holy Spirit sees and is able to show me if I'll only ask Him. But the wisdom is available for the asking, and it's packed into the Word that God has already written for you, and this is a great place to start looking. To know instruction. Now, this one was interesting. When I looked at this, the definition is discipline, chastening, correction. So what the Proverbs will do is they will help us to keep on the right path. They'll show us what's wrong and what's not right. But what's wrong and what's right.
Amen.
Start with me getting the words out. But it will help you to gain insight. The way it reads, I think, on the screen is to gain insight and instruction. To receive instruction in wise behavior. Actually, that's the way it's written in the New American Standard. And there's the illustration of the translation difficulty. Those look so different. But the key words are there. And they convey a similar meaning. And instruction there is that same word that we encountered in the previous verse. So that it will correct us and help us to keep our focus where it needs to be. And what is our focus? Righteous, justice, and equity. Righteousness is the right standing with God, how to be right before God, and then justice and equity, how to be right with other people. To give prudence to the naive, or knowledge and discretion to the youth, as the American Standard puts it. Again, they will help us to discern the truth. And they'll help us to make wise decisions. We can use them to teach our children. And Solomon will spend a lot of time addressing things that can so easily trap us when we're young and sometimes when we're not so young. The young are not the only people who can learn from some of the things he has to say, for sure. But then he talks about the wise. And he says the wise will hear and they'll learn. And he says that they'll gain wise counsel. You want to know what to do? There's a lot of basic principles in here that'll help you make good decisions. We'll understand then the truth behind the truth, because there's layers. There's layers even within the Word of God. There often is layered meaning, and it's often so rich. You know how it is. You can read the same piece of Scripture over and over and over again. All of a sudden, when they, wow! I never saw that before. It's God's Word is so rich throughout the Scripture that if you're willing, if you're looking at it that way, if you're looking at it with the attitude of God, what can you teach me today? I guarantee you, not every day necessarily, but you'll see something as you study over time. Things will become clear. Meditate on God's Word always. From Psalms chapter 1, verses 22, as something, if you were in Sunday school as a kid, you probably got taught this. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffer. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night.
Amen.
Folks, we would save ourselves from so much trouble if we just read God's Word and do what it says.
Amen.
And that's the way he wraps this up. He says the fear of the Lord, or the fear of Yahweh, is the beginning of knowledge. It's the most important thing he's going to say. If you look over in Ecclesiastes, And you read Ecclesiastes, and if you're not careful, you can get depressed, because he goes through all these things and says, oh, none of it means anything. But he ends up with this. The conclusion, when all is said, this is 13 and 14 of chapter 12, when the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments.
Amen.
Because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act into judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. To doubt God undermines the foundation of all truth, because he is truth. And if we choose then to ignore or oppose him, we do so at our own peril.
That's right.
And that's why, as we read the Proverbs, or as you read the Proverbs, you'll see so much in there about the fool. He's illustrated over and over again in so many different ways what the fool is like. It's, as it says here, the fool despises wisdom, despises instruction. And we know what that word now means. That word means correction. The fool is not willing to listen, not willing to be corrected. He's going to do it his way. And it says in the Psalms that he said in his heart, there is no God. And I think that is why it is that when you read the Sermon on the Mount, I know we talked about that at one point, you know, how he says, if you call your brother a fool, you're in danger of the hellfire. Well, it's because of, I believe that's really a description of what is in your heart, above and beyond. Your words are important, but above and beyond what you're saying, it's talking, he's addressing the condition of your heart and the way that you think about your brother or sister. And the fool is somebody who has rejected God, who's gone their own way, and we don't need to be looking at our brothers and sisters that way. I think that's why Jesus is so harsh about that. I don't have a whole lot more to say today. As we wrap this up, I just want to encourage you to read the Proverbs, because you will find instruction for your daily life. You will find exposition of truths. And I tell you what you'll find. I shared this a minute ago. You'll find as you read them, you'll think about the things that are going around you. The way people act and the things that you see happen. You'll read the Proverbs and you'll think, wow, yeah, that's true. I've seen it work that way. Then sometimes you'll read some of them and say, well, you know, I don't know if that's always true. But there are things that are in there that describe the way things should be and the way things will be at the end. Sometimes we have to wait until God's judgment to see things come out the way that we think they should. And even then, it probably might not be the way we think what they should.
No.
It'll be the way God thinks they should.
Amen.
And he's the ultimate decider. But we'll see these things in the world around us as we study. But most importantly, they point to God. They point to God as the truth and as the source of wisdom. And if we will seek him above all else, it will lead us to wisdom. Thank you, Lord. I don't feel like I presented this very wisely today. I trust in you that your word will not return void, that your word is the truth. And I do know that it is the source for all wisdom. It is the source for everything that is good. It tells us about you. It tells us how to live for you. It tells us how you made it possible. Because without you, we can't do all this stuff. Without your help, We were just as lost as before we found the thing. But because you have come in, because you made the sacrifice, because you paved the way, because you paid for our sins on that cross, and because we are blessed to know about it, we have this record of it, we can say, thank you, Lord. We can say, we belong to you, we are your children. And thank you for your cleansing forgiveness, for all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.